name we pray.
Amen.
I want to say thank you to Dan Fennell for preaching for me last week. I liked how he referred to the Saturday morning guys as the older folk. I'm in that grouping, and the young guns are in Friday. So, Dan, you're a young gun. Dan Emmett goes to the 6 a.m. We sleep in till 7:30 on Saturday because we're a little bit older. I'm just kidding, Dan. But it is a blessing to be with our men's group, and so we hope that you'll take part in that. Look for an opportunity to get involved, get in good with our small groups. As Dan was sharing last week that the 12 have been sent out, I just want to point out a couple things where Jesus says in verse 16, right off the gate here, he says, "Behold, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out." And he said those words earlier in the beginning of chapter 10. And it says there in chapter 10, verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Today, when we think about the sermon, we're thinking about the mission of God, and are we mission ready? And he is telling these guys, they've been with him, they've been walking with him, and all of a sudden, he's sending them out, and he's no longer going to be with them. He's giving them traveling instructions. And so as we see him doing that, he tells them in verse 6, "But go rather to these lost sheep and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in verse 8, it says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay." In other words, don't do it for money. Don't do it just to get something back. Today, we pick back up where Dan left off last week in verse 16. And our title is called Mission Ready. And Jesus is sending his disciples out and giving them a heads up about what they're going to be facing. So I'm going to give you 4 points. It says, trust Christ, that's number one, and be wise. Number two, beware of opposition. Number three, seek people and share peace. And number four, embrace weakness. I don't know if you like that picture or not, but I love that picture because that's what God says, "Behold, I'm sending you out." And you really have to trust God, right? I mean, can you imagine if Jesus came in here and said, "No, I want you to go out. I want you to go out. I don't want you to worry about what you're to take. I'm going to give you some traveling instructions. I want you to get ready and gear up." And it would take a single-mindedness of thought to get this. If we're going to do this, we're going to have to trust Christ. So Jesus is instructing his followers to trust him completely. He is, in a sense, giving them the instructions like you would get before you get on a plane. You know how you have to gear up differently when you're getting on a plane. You can't take your big bottle of shampoo. You know? Whatever you take. I don't know what you take. Some of us take more product than we need, right? And they tell you can only have so many ounces of it. You have to live a certain way when you're on the road. And they even had on the newscast one day, they were talking about how to get by with putting very little on, just carry a travel on, and you could put your clothes on and wear several layers of clothes so you didn't have to go over the weight amount and you didn't have to check your bag in because it's such a hassle to get off the plane and go all the way down. But you'll see other people, they'll pack a yak in there, and they say, they tell you, they measure your suitcase and they tell you to, you can only get this much on, and then you see the guy that's packing things and it's just like, dude, there's no way you're going to get that up there. And then you see him let him on. And then he's shoving that thing in there, and somehow he gets all that stuff in there. And you're thinking, great, I have no chance by the time I get on to have that overhead bin. But that's what Jesus is doing. He's telling him that you're going to have to live a little differently here. And right out of the gate, he tells him in verse 16, if you'll have a look down there, he says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." And so there's only a few of us, and there's many of them. And that's what he's saying. It's going to take a lot of trust. I don't know about you, but can you remember what it would feel like if you were a sheep and you were among wolves? And you can feel the hot breath and the growl upon your neck. And that's what God is saying. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. There's only a few of you. There's many of them. And so when we think about this, we need to remember what Jesus says. You don't need to pack a bunch of stuff. Remember in verse 9 there? I think Dan talked about that. I'm not sure. But it says, acquire no gold. In verse 9 there, acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals. Don't pack extra stuff. Don't pack all your shoes. Don't pack all your shirts. Don't pack all your socks. He's saying you need to be lean, mean, and ready to go. And so he's saying don't put a lot of stuff in there. He said the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. So he's saying that you're going to have to trust me on this. Don't take any extra stuff. You have to trust me. Corrie Ten Boom, there's a story about Corrie Ten Boom that is told often about her faith, and she didn't think she would have faith. And her father was talking to him, and she was about ready to take her first train ride on a train, and she kept asking him, today is the day? Dad, do I need to get my ticket today? Do you have my ticket today? And he said, no, Corrie. He said, when do I normally give you what you need? She goes, right before I need it. She goes, that's right. You have to trust the Father to provide you what you need at the time you need it. And many of us, Alistair Begg talked about this, and it really struck me. He says that a lot of people really want God to invade this world and interrupt the process so that we don't have to worry about what it's going to be like to make the trip when we die. And he said, but we have to trust in the same way. We have to trust that the Father will be there at the right time, at the moment that we do die, to carry us safely back to the other side. Isn't that true? We do. We have to trust Christ, and we have to be wise. Because look, why do we have to be wise? Well, he tells us why. He says that you're being sent out among wolves. He says, behold. In other words, look out there. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Behold. In other words, look and beware. In whatever town you find, you find where to stay there until you depart. That's verse 11. But we need to trust, and we need to understand, we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And why is that? Because we need to beware of some things. Beware of what? We need to beware of opposition. A lot of Christians don't realize it, but you're going to face opposition. And Warren Wiersbe says that they will need to be tough-minded, but tender-hearted. But opposition will come, and it's going to come from three different institutions. It's going to come from organized religion. You see that in verse 17. He says, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their own synagogue. So it's in the church that people are going to treat you like this. Secondly, it's going to come from the government. That's verse 18. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So there's a chance that we will be taken, we will face opposition from the government. That's true today, isn't it? We see this all the time popping up. Organized religion, also the government. And finally, there's going to be opposition from even your own family. And that's amazing, isn't it? When we start to think about this, in the tribulation, there's a talk about world religion and economics and a government that Satan will use all three to persecute those who stand true to Christ. There will also be a decay of love in the family. And we see that even today, especially if you become a Christian and your family knows you're a Christian, they will take it out on you and they will come at you. And God says, I know this is going to happen. And he's telling them ahead of time, he says, I'm sending you out there. You need to trust me on this. You need to travel light, as Alistair Begg summarized, those packages that you need to want to take. You can't take them with you. You got to be lean and mean. You got to travel light. And you need to trust Christ, and you need to be aware of some things that you're going to face opposition. Behold, I'm sending you out amongst the wolves. And there's few of you, and there's many of them. And so as we think this, Jesus is wanting us to know what it's going to be like as Christians in this world to serving him It's not an easy road to hoe. But he wants us to do something. He wants us to seek people and share peace. Seek people and share peace. Verse 12, what kind of people? Well, we're looking for a person of peace. We're looking for somebody that will receive us. And so now this is not the picture of what it feels like, isn't it? Isn't that what the picture feels like when we think about going back to our offices or back to our schoolhouse or back to our out into the world? You know, not so much that the people are wolves, but will they be receptive of ourselves being sent out to them to share the gospel? We're to look for people who will receive us, where God has placed us. That's our field. And we may feel like sheep when it comes to sharing our faith in this hostile place. And Jesus says some people will receive you. They will welcome you. That's a person of peace. They will open their world up to you. Notice, you're supposed to stay with them, that you don't depart from them. That's what we read earlier, that you don't need to take anything, but whatever town or village you're in, if you find a house that's worthy or that's open to you, he says, stay there. Don't go looking for stuff. I was thinking about pastors and churches. We need to stay with our churches. Not just go for the next better deal. And we see this in Luke when he describes the 72 being sent out. And he talks about the person of peace. They are people that will welcome you. And not only will they welcome you, they will serve you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 6, it says, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. In other words, don't go searching for a new deal. You know, like when Jesus sent them out, this is in Luke. So if he sent them out two by two, he sent them out two together, you'd hear about your friends. How's it going over there? What kind of food did Joan Emmett cook? I heard Lori Deacon's dessert or her salad is out of this world. Or maybe I could go over to another church. What's Matthias finding over there in old Zacharias' house? You know, I mean, it's like that. That's what he's saying. He says, don't look for another deal. Don't look for a better deal. Stay with where in the house that you are. Don't depart from it. And then he says, don't go comparing people. And then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give away your peace. So people that welcome you, they serve you, they open their world up to you. You know, I told you the story about this guy named Ford up at Sam's Club when Melissa and I were buying a big bag of rice. And he was just asking us all kinds of questions, very welcoming. And he was serving us. You know, you could tell he had a servant's heart. He wasn't there. And he's got a voice that's made for radio. And I bet you he's some corporate guy that retired and decided to work at Sam's Club. I'm telling you. I believe that. Watch him be, you know, that's not what I'm thinking. But I think that Ford is a person of peace. And I told him that. I said, Ford, you know what? You're a person of peace. He goes, all right, tell me more about that. I mean, he's just quick. Tell me a little bit more about that. And I said, well, he goes, tell me a little bit about what you're doing with this rice. And we said, we were going to make snowmen out of socks with these things, and we're going to take them up and give them to the people at the nursing home. And he goes, oh, I like that. I'm all for that. I'm about that. I said, well, you're a person of peace, Ford. He goes, really? And that's when he said, tell me more about that. I want to hear about that. And I said, well, you've welcomed me, you're serving me, and you've opened your world up to me. You're not shoving me away. And I said, we're doing this for the glory of God and the good of people. It's real easy to talk to people like that. So you want to look for those people. See, Jesus didn't tell them right off the bat. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, go to specific people. Then he said, don't just go to everybody, but go to the homes that will let you in. There's people out there. There's soil that has been prepared. Who? By the Father. That God has prepared them. And that's what Luke calls him. Calls the person of peace, a son of peace, a son or a daughter of peace, somebody that will receive you. There's whole churches that are built around this concept as a person of peace concept, where that's how they grow their church. So we have to trust Christ. We have to be wise. We have to beware because we're going to face opposition. And then God wants us to know that we need to seek people and share them. And what do we share? We give away the comfort we ourselves have received. That's in 2 Corinthians 1:4, that God is the God of all compassion. So we give away the comfort that we ourselves have received.
In verse 7 of chapter 10 in Matthew, it says, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received without paying or give without pay." Now that verse 9 there says, "Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you." Now I agree that healing still happens today, but I don't think, and I'm very cautious when I say this, that healing is not the same. I don't think we're at the same place where the disciples are right now. You understand? I think God gave them this specifically at the time of Jesus. Do I believe God heals? Yes. Do I believe there's healing ministries? Yes. But do I believe it's to the degree of what we see here? I'm not sure. And so when we talk about this, we have to be careful with this, because these are 12 people that were selected by Christ. These are the 72 followers that were sent out by Jesus. They would empty the hospitals. So we have to be careful with this. How is there other ways that Jesus could give us to heal people? Well, we can send doctors to heal people, to repair cleft lips, to give sight to people who would go blind otherwise. And we could tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So as we go, we want to give away that compassion that we have, and then we want to listen to people. We want to listen to their stories. We want to be a witness to their life. So we share them the peace that we have. We give away the comfort we have received, but we listen to them. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." So a man of understanding will draw it out. So when we ask people, "How are you doing? Tell me about your life. Tell me what that's like for you. What's that feel like for you? I want to hear more about that. You remember Ford? Tell me about that. I want to hear more about you." It says a man of understanding will draw it out of people. What do you think God's telling you in that, in the midst of your suffering and your pain? And then listen carefully what they say and how they feel, whether they know whether God's there. Because we're telling them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus wants them to know that someone will receive them. He wants his disciples to know that some people will receive them and some people will reject them. And in verse 24, he says, "For those who do good and get mistreated," Jesus tells us we must not expect to be treated better than our great master. He tells us that we're going to be treated just like Jesus. And Jesus always told the truth, and he helped people, and he was there to minister to people, but some people rejected him. We must not be expecting to be treated better than Jesus. And if we let the world alone, it would probably leave us alone. But if we try to do spiritual good, it will hate us just as it did Jesus. Jesus tells us, what do we do with that rejection? He says, embrace it. Embrace weakness. Remember what he said. He says, "I'm sending you out there." That poor sheep, can you imagine that poor sheep going out into that crowd? And that's what Jesus is saying. You know what wolves would do to a sheep? They'd rip it to pieces. He says, "You're going to have to trust me. Really trust me. And you're going to have to be wise when you're out there among them. You're going to have to be as smart as serpents and gentle as doves." And you're going to have to behold. You're going to have to see that I'm sending you out there. You're going to have to look and see what you're facing. You're going to have to beware that you're going to face opposition from even your own family. And you need to embrace this weakness. The power of weakness. Does God understand the mission? Does he understand what he's doing? He's sending sheep among wolves. Yes, he does. Think of David and Goliath. Think of Moses being sent to Pharaoh. God has done this over and over and over again. He takes nobodies and makes them somebodies.
the apparent plentifulness of the harvest against the so few workers. The sheep, the weak, frail sheep amongst the wolves, their apparent strength compared to our weakness. He says, don't be afraid. Verse 26, Jesus is implying we will be misunderstood at times, misrepresented, vilified, slandered, and abused. He says in verse 26, don't fear them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. God will make it right. He will set it right. So have no fear of that. Nothing that's covered up in verse 26 will not be revealed. You keep doing good. You keep seeking people of peace and sharing your peace. When the Lord returns, He will set it right, and the secrets of men's heart will be revealed. In verse 27, notice what it says. It says, when I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Now, why is he saying that? He's saying, don't let them silence you. Don't let them put a chill on what's going on. Think about it, what we said about facing opposition. It comes from the church. It's coming from the government. Let's just go radio silent. Let's just go along to get along. That would be, he's cautioning us against that. That doesn't mean we go get it in their face and put it in people's face that don't want it. But for the people who do want it, for those that God has prepared, those people of peace, go to them. And embrace your weakness. Realize you're going to feel very, very insecure. He says, but don't be afraid. Don't let him silence you. Verse 28, and do not even fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both, the soul and the body in hell. You might feel insecure at times and wonder if God cares for you. Don't let them make you believe that God doesn't care about your life or he's not watching. Look at verse 29, if you will. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. I was watching the sparrows come into my bird feeder, and they're just like tossing the food around. The stuff they don't like, they just get rid of it. They just keep eating. They don't have a care in the world. God says you're more valuable than them. Many of them. But he knows when even one of them falls to the ground. I mean, don't you feel like that when you look at this world? You feel like that sheep? And you're looking and you're beholding, and it doesn't look very friendly out there? And you're getting buffeted from all sides? What does God say? He says, fear not. You're more valuable than many sparrows. You may be sheep, but you're not sheep without a shepherd. You have a great shepherd, a good shepherd, and he's good, and he cares about you. He pays attention to each one of us. He knows the individual hairs on our heads. You know, it really puts a test, doesn't it, whether we truly trust God as God the Father or we're just a deist. You know what a deist thinks? A deist looks at the world and there must be a God, must have created all this, and he walked away like a watchmaker. That he created the world, he set on course, and we should not think that he pays attention to each one of us individually. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying he knows the very time when a sparrow falls to the ground, and he knows you, he knows the number of hairs in your head, he knows what's going on in our life, in our individual lives. But a deist thinks that God just walked away. He started the watch and made the watch, and it's clicking on its own. Jesus is telling us that it's not. That the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the God who created the universe wants to know and that he's interested and cares for the smallest details of our life. That's peace, brother. That's peace. So we're supposed to share that peace with people who don't feel like God cares about them, doesn't love them, doesn't know them. We're saying he does care and he does love them and he sent us to tell you so that you can meet him and you can have this peace. You see, that's what God is trying to get us to do, to trust him so much that even the way that we travel is impacted. We're not worried about taking extra stuff. We're traveling light. We're wise, gentle. We're wise and we're gentle. Wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And that we're just going to keep telling people about Jesus. I have a lot more to tell you because there's more chapter here. Look what he says. He says to them, you keep telling them, you tell them this, that you were sent with authority. In verse 32, he says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Remind them, he says, to acknowledge me and that it may cost them much. It may bring on laughter, persecution, and scorn, but let us remember, we will not be laughed out of heaven. You need a relationship with him. There's a choice to be made about the person of Christ. It's not like a law or a philosophy where you can choose the ones you like and ignore the ones you don't like. And remember, he says in verse 34, do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. The gospel brings division, doesn't it? Don't fall into the trap, he's saying, that the gospel is just going to automatically, everything is going to get peachy keen and peaceful. He says, you tell them, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Happy is he who understands Christianity, holds out a crown, but it ends up with a cross in the way. In the end, there's the promise of the crown, but there's a cross to bear. The harvest is plentiful. What a potential. What a privilege. Seeking the lost and sharing the peace of Christ. He says, behold, I'm sending you among wolves. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tell them there's a payday coming someday, that whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You see, you're traveling around and there's persecution going on and somebody puts you in their house, that puts them at risk. God says, I'm going to reward that person. There's been people killed for putting up Christians. The question is, for us, are we part of the mission field or are we mission ready? In other words, you're either with Jesus or you're not. And this is the kind of trust that God wants us to have as we go out into the world. He wants his people to be mission ready. Because he's sending us among the wolves. So as we look at this and we think about this, I want to share with you these words, trust God and be wise. Beware of opposition. Seek people and share peace. And embrace your weakness. For when you are weak, Jesus is strong. This is the mission of God. There was a man, and I leave you with this story, named John Chrysostom. His nickname was Golden Mouth because of his eloquent sermons. It earned him no favor with Roman authorities, and when he was brought before the Roman emperor, he was threatened with exile.
This is in 347 AD to 407 AD was his lifetime. He said that if he would, he threatened him for exile if he remained a Christian. Chrysostom's reply to the emperor reflects the insight of one who understands that true freedom in life comes from freedom in the spirit and security and love of God and has this kind of trust. The emperor threatened him with exile, and Chrysostom said, "You can't exile me. The whole world is my father's house." "Then I will kill you," said the emperor. "You can't," said John, "for my life is hid with Christ and God." "Then I will take away your treasures." "You can't, for my treasure is in heaven." "Then I will drive you away from men, and you will have no friends left." "You can't, for I have a friend in heaven from whom I cannot be separated. I defy you, for there is nothing that you can do to hurt me." Trust God. Be wise. Beware, you will face opposition. Seek the lost. Share peace. Christ died for our sins, raised for our justification. Embrace weakness. Let's pray. Father God, I pray now that in some way you'll use this to strengthen our arms and our hearts and our minds as we go back into this world. We pray, God, that you would put us out there where you've placed us, in the fields where we work, that we are either part of the mission team that's going out and ready, or we're part of the mission field needing to be saved. So, Father, I pray for your help, that we would know whose we are and whom we belong to, and that you care for us. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we go about our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Rise and sing.